So welcome to today's Align IT show, the Align IT Manager Tech Talk series.
Wait.
What?
Did you just get the name right the first time?
Yeah, I would have, except then you totally interrupted me.
Well, I had to. The point was that you actually got the name of the show right, though.
Because I wasn't thinking about it. I'm just rolling off my tongue.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways, welcome. I'm Ruth Morton, and this is my interrupting colleague, Jonathan Rosenblit.
AKA entertainment for you guys,
yes.
What can I say?
Yes. And we apologize for those that are live online. We're a little late today. Just a number of things. I could blame it on the traffic. I could blame it on Jonathan.
Technology,
difficulties,
computers,
life. Just, yeah, life.
Whatever.
You know, I had to go and get myself put together after leaving my twin boys at school this morning, and it was a little traumatic for mummy.
I'm pretty sure we're here to talk about the cloud, though.
Oh, right.
Not you. Sorry.
No, really? I think it's all about me. Anyways, yes, we're here to talk about the cloud. And in July, we had Mary Jo Foley come and join us, and she was talking about kind of the new stuff that got released with Azure and what it meant to the industry and what it meant to Microsoft's overall cloud picture from an industry perspective. And today,
it kills me that she still says Azure.
Azure.
Azure. What can you do?
I'm the Azure girl and you're the Azure guy.
Fair enough.
And today we have a couple of guys that have been in the trenches actually deploying their systems to the cloud and some of their clients' stuff to the cloud. And we want to talk to them and find out kind of what they're doing, what some of the hurdles they've had to overcome, what are some of the successes they've had, and also why. I mean, what is the value that they're seeing? And so we have Bruce Johnson from ObjectSharp. And John White from Unlimited Viz. Viz Unlimited. Oh, my goodness.
She got a lot of IT right.
It takes me a long time. John, why don't you do a proper introduction yourself, and then Bruce, then we'll do you.
Sure. It's, as Bruce mentioned, John White. The company is actually Unlimited Viz, so you had it right the first time. We're a small... primarily SharePoint consulting firm based in Kitchener, Waterloo area. We focus in on business intelligence and cloud solutions. Moving more and more to the Office 365 side, and that of course has dragged with Azure when you want to put everything in the cloud. Our company is very geo-distributed. I'm actually sitting in Guelph right now, which is actually where Ruth is
Guelph
from.
Rocks.
I made the right choice in missing the traffic today
yes.
and improving the value of cloud computing, in fact, because I'm talking to you right now over the cloud. We actually moved our company's complete infrastructure to Office 365, actually originally BPOS, but everything's now sitting on Office 365, given that SharePoint's good enough for it, and we have a number of Azure servers we use too. As I was mentioning, we're quite geo-distributed. I'm in Guelph. We've got people in Stratford. We've got people in Newmarket. We've got people up north, and actually, we've got one person in Serbia. So
nice.
Yeah, it gives you the idea. We don't really have any. We don't really have any servers of our own, save development servers. My actual workstation, you can call a server, big enough to do that. But that's about it. So yeah, it's been a great success for us. That's us.
Awesome. And Bruce, can you tell us a little bit about ObjectSharp?
Yeah, I'm Bruce Johnson. I'm the VP of Technology, one of the founders of ObjectSharp. We are a .NET training consulting company here in Toronto. We're running, actually we had a rack of servers sitting out in Vancouver running SharePoint, running Exchange, doing all of the stuff that you would normally have. And starting, I want to say probably close to a year ago, we started moving Exchange to the cloud, moving to Office 365, putting our internal SharePoint stuff is up there. With the Azure stuff that came out in June, we're starting to move we're going to be pushing our what used to be our SharePoint website up into Azure websites probably sometime in the next 3 or 4 weeks. We've been using some of the website stuff just to show off or to act as a staging area for our clients when we're doing development work for them. So we've been pretty much on the cloud for the last little while, and it's been surprisingly easy, very painless and very seamless. We've got a lot of non-techie people here, and they don't know that we're on the cloud, and that to me is the ideal scenario.
What is it? Who is it that said any good technology should be like magic? Or no, yeah. Any good technology should work like magic.
Work like magic.
Isaac Asimov.
Yeah,
yes, Isaac Asimov, right. And yeah, I think that we're definitely moving towards an era where that is, where you don't need to know how it works or where it is. You just use it, which is pretty exciting.
You know, the thing though that I guess the question to you guys is in the previous shows, and I know with Mary Jo we talked about from a development perspective, putting apps and stuff like in mm-hmm. there. Now you guys in what you were just saying, you're talking about actually moving your business productivity apps into the cloud.
Yeah. So your internal infrastructure is moving up there.
Yep. So I guess the question to you guys is why?
I'll start. I actually put out a blog post, I don't know, maybe a year ago, why I love Office 365. So one thing I didn't mention in my introduction, I'm a SharePoint MVP. I'm pretty comfortable with SharePoint. So why would someone who knows SharePoint like the back of their hand want to basically cede control to have no access to central admin anymore for their own systems? Basically, because it's easy and it's cheap is what it boils down to. I don't want to spend a ton of time running my own environment when I can be spending that time with customers. It boils down to that. I don't want to have to worry about uptime. I don't want to have to deal with the phone calls in the middle of the night if something's not working on me, particularly email, but even with SharePoint. And then the other side of that, as I mentioned, with us being so geo-distributed, it just made sense. We don't want to have to put hardware in any one location. So that's basically it.
And recently,
for us, it was, well, ultimately the starting point was money. It ended up, if you work through all the numbers, it actually ends up being cheaper running the thing out of off the cloud than it does actually having your own hardware. But we're developers. I mean, if you look at our technical people here in the office, we're developers. We really don't need to launch a physical piece of hardware and install Windows Server on it. If I didn't have to do that ever again, I'd be quite happy with that particular approach. So, yeah, I don't want to have to maintain the expertise necessary to actually manage the hardware, and I don't have to anymore. And I can spin up a Windows Server in minutes rather than having to have somebody come in and do it. Now, I will tell you that this doesn't mean we don't have admin people. We actually do have somebody who is an IT pro admin still on staff who's actually working with stuff, but he tends to be working on why are pictures of old employees appearing for me when we see link? He's working on problems at the software level rather than on trying to patch Windows, trying to make sure everything is up and running, trying to make sure that the level of what he works on ends up being very different. So where we end up spending the money for that kind of resource adds much more value to what we're doing than, oh, look, here's a DVD. I'm going to shove it in, and then I'm going to wait while the hardware gets... It's just a very different kind of value prop at that point.
Yeah. What about, you say it was easy, but I am sure there were some period of adjustment. What would you say were the biggest bumps that you encountered along the way?
For us, tiny things like the stuff that I just mentioned. I mean, okay, so we started off moving Exchange up. It took 4 days.
Now this is Exchange to Office 365.
That's correct. We moved Exchange from our server up to Office 365. It took about 4 days, mostly because some of our employees have a 2 and 3 gig of email space.
Really? Really? Yeah. I can relate.
Not me.
Wall cats from 4 years ago. So there was a time it took to get stuff up and going. It massively seems. Like I said, we have got people here who are not technical. And I judge the success or failure of these kinds of migrations based on whether they knew anything had happened. We told them that there was going to be a migration. We told them that there were the stuff from the last couple of months would be searchable quickly, that it would take might take 24 to 48 hours to get all of their stuff being searchable. They came in on a Monday, didn't really know that it had happened. That to me is that to me is a massive success. We took our internal SharePoint site and we migrated that over, gave people a different URL, and it was there. They didn't know that anything had happened, just simply because they didn't have to know anything had happened. And so every step along the way when we've done it, you know, there hasn't been anything significant at all. Now, minor stuff, well, you know, some of the stuff related to getting identity to flow across everything that we happen to have doing is annoying. Because we're using Active Directory Federated Services, and we have some stuff where we've got automated process trying to do headless authentication, and so I've got those kinds of headaches that are at a very deep technical level. But functionally, it was dirt simple, incredibly easy, not a lot of effort, not a lot of time. It just worked.
Nice. And how are you?
I'd echo the same experience. For us, there's one small annoyance right now. Well, I guess it's a fairly big annoyance. It's going to be solved in SharePoint 2013, which is the inability to run. We have a core partner in Mintex workflow, and that requires basically some DLLs to the server, which obviously you cannot do with Office 365. The new model is addressing those issues, so that's a little bit of a bump. I can also, you know, if we want to step outside of Office 365 for just a little bit, we've bumped into using things like SQL reporting services in Azure. We deployed that out for a customer and pretty quickly, because they were doing an awful lot of mapping in their reports. I think Jonathan's familiar with some of this stuff. But we're using SQL Server reporting services to generate the printable maps. And just due to the size and the fact that we can't tweak the parameters on the server, it was unable to basically render out those maps. However, we originally, you know, to solve that problem, we moved it off to another hosting provider. But this summer, when the new Azure services came available with the infrastructure as a service, we were able to spin up an extra large instance and banks and streams.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I know you had been using the new VM services in Azure, and so that's going well.
Very, very well. We're using we've got one VM stood up for our own purposes. It's going to be hosting our, you know, it's the same experience. We had a SharePoint website that we're going to just move to something simpler right now, and that's going to be going live ideally tomorrow, and that's going to be hosted on that service. And all of the blogs at the company are actually right now on WordPress, but they're being hosted on one of the infrastructure as a service. And then we've got a couple of customers using a shared machine that we're using for BI purposes. As you know, there's no concept of analysis services in the cloud yet, but that's how we're solving that problem. So we're basically able to provide this off-premise resource to our customers who may not have the hardware, the time, or the authority to purchase additional hardware and software, but they can use the services and the cloud that we're providing.
Now let me ask you this though. So you're using these virtual machines effectively as if they were on premises, the exact same way that you were before. I know, you know, as we're going out, we're doing various different activities across Canada. One of the key questions that comes up is, do you see or feel that there's a difference between what you would have otherwise had on premises with your own machines or whatever, in your ability to use the virtual machines in Azure? Or do you feel that it's seamless to you?
The only difference is obviously, you know, if it was on premise, we're going to be, and we are not in either case federating identity. So it's basically a standalone machine with, you know, local machine type of identities. That's a bit restrictive. It introduces a couple of challenges. They're surmountable, but we just haven't needed to beat those. But apart from that, it's completely seamless. In fact, I'll come back to, I don't have to worry about uptime. They run. They're there. They just work. So I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
cool. And I know, Bruce, you guys have virtual machines running as well for some of your infrastructure. Do you have the same experience as John does?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you look at the way our company is organized, we're also moderately virtual in that there's a number of people who would be hooking in from outside of our offices anyway. Our machines were sitting in Vancouver. We were using rack space in Vancouver is where all the physical machines were. So whether it's in Vancouver or whether it's whatever the heck data center we happen to have stuff in, it's completely transparent to the people who are attaching to it and using it. There's no difference whatsoever.
So both of you have mentioned that you've moved from other service providers onto the Azure VMs. Why? What was the forcing function to do that? Yeah, money.
That's one way to put it.
I didn't really have a problem with Rackspace's reliability, but I have got a ton of confidence in the Microsoft data center. That's part of it, but it's about half the cost. It really is. I'm running for the one instance is an extra large VM instance, which is, I don't know, 12 procs and 14 gigs of RAM, or the other way around, I don't remember. But it's blazingly fast. I have no problems at all with it. So, and I don't remember the numbers, but it's roughly half the cost of what the equivalent. It made it possible to do that it would have been more practical.
Now, for any size business, that's a significant amount of money, right?
It's not. Well, numbers I think are in the they're below $500 for that box.
Right.
And we're about two thirds. We reduced our cost by about two thirds by doing
nice.
Yeah.
So how do you get around, or do you have any concerns about where your data is stored? That's the question we get all the time. How do you get around that, or you know, how do you address that?
Oh, yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, there's a. Okay, so we're not. We don't put anything up into the cloud that's would hit the category of confidential. So we don't have anything in our particular world that we happen to be worried about at that level. When I get asked that particular question, usually there's a couple of different reasons for asking it. One is people just really don't want to be on the cloud. They don't think it's a good idea. And the other one is that I'm not going to say there aren't legitimate concerns. If the legitimate concern side is if it's really that much of an issue, you can set up a hybrid. You can actually, and that's what I've always been telling people, hey, you know, something, you put your servers up in the cloud, you can use virtual networking to be able to actually extend your domain out of the cloud so it feels like it's one of the same. You're going through a secure connection. You could expose something on expose an endpoint on one of your machines, so you want to have a communication that way. Keep the data on your own premises, and then serve it up through whatever you need in the cloud. So that's one. The other one, if it's not really, I want to say if it's not really legitimate, that's not quite fair. But if it's being less than noble, you have no idea, unless you happen to have a dedicated connection set up between, you know, your Toronto office and your Vancouver office, you have no idea where those bits are flowing through anyway. They're already flowing through servers that are in the States. They're already subject to the Patriot Act, you know, so get off my back. No, I would never say that. But ultimately, it's if you're really concerned about it, you can set up a hybrid model, keep the thing on-prem, and you're fine. If you're just simply concerned about, I don't want to store my data someplace in the U.S., that's not really going to hold water because you have no control. Most people have no control over the route that their bytes take from point A to point B within their corporate environment. And so you already have that problem, and you don't care.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, since you don't know, I've got to presume you don't care.
Well, the thing is, they've never had an issue with it, and it's never come up. And the chances of somebody having an issue, unless they have a specific requirement, is very slim.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Now, can you have a specific requirement? Yes. Are there solutions? Yes. And this, you know, if all I'm going to do is just, if I'm worried about my data, I put my database server and I extend my domain out to what my web servers would be. You probably have already designed it to be separated anyway. I don't lose anything by doing that, and I gain the fact that I've got some of my infrastructure sitting out there on the cloud. I don't have to worry about the physical machines and anything related to the actual physical infrastructure.
Yep.
And my data is still on-prem, so life is good.
Cool.
One point I always like to make too is Azure, Office 365, all of these cloud services aren't being designed for my company. They're being designed for the biggest company that Microsoft's going to have to support.
Including our own.
Company, including the U.S. military. I mean, they're aiming at the U.S. government. They're going to have the most stringent security requirements that I can imagine. And that any breach in those requirements or any breach to that security is just going to kill the business. So I got to think there's some pretty smart people working on keeping this stuff safe. Much smarter and probably more dedicated at it than anybody I'm going to be able to hire for my company or your company. So I kind of trust their data center guys a lot more than your data center guys. It's what it boils down to. I'll try to say it a little bit nicer. That's how I feel. I mean, that is simply the case. The human element is always the weakest link in the chain in terms of security. So.
And I mean, and the truth is that at the end of the day, our stuff is in there as well. Like there is Microsoft stuff running in Azure as well. So rest assured, you know, if there's confidence within the company to put stuff out there, you're going to get the same experts, if you will, kind of working both. So actually, you know what? While we're at it, there's actually a great webcast. There's actually a virtual event that our chief technology officer, I think he is, or national technology officer, sorry, John Weigelt.
Yes.
He actually did a full day event with a third party firm called Norton Rose. They did an amazing session, and it was even great to see the third party view of all of this stuff. I'll give you guys a link. It's aka.ms/getthefacts. It's actually I recently stumbled upon it. It actually literally just came out, but there's several hours of good stuff in there.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's good to know. I didn't know that. I thought you were gonna point to your Azure webcams, which are also a good place.
I was getting to that.
You know, that's when I was looking over here for my AKA. Here, I'll move this machine over a little bit so that we can look at it. Which is another good place to learn about Azure and get your feet wet.
In fact, interestingly enough, Bruce has been doing the virtual machine session at these Azure Dev Camps, so it's great actually to have you here as well, Bruce, talking about it, not from a, hey, here's the technical breakdown of this stuff, but here's how we actually use it.
And as we've been saying, it works. It just works. And honestly, the number of options that you have available to you. Could I possibly construct an infrastructure problem that it might not fit? Yes.
Yeah.
But those are edge cases. Vast majority of people, you can find ways to handle the infrastructure and the security and on-prem, off-prem combination that will make the people who run your company happy.
Yeah.
Now, and what's interesting is that both of you guys have actually also said, if we think back to the sort of like the theme of today's show, the complete cloud picture. Right, you guys were talking about Office 365, you guys were talking about virtual machines, at one point you guys were talking about Azure websites.
And hybrids.
So. And hybrids. Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, I mean, you guys are sort of exemplifying what, you know, we're saying is the complete cloud picture, being that you're using each feature for whatever makes sense for what you're trying to do for your business.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm hearing from you guys is it just works.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got sorry to jump in, but one application we've got running on our VM is calling data from both a local installed SQL server and a SQL Azure. It just doesn't really matter. You just set the string properly. So it's using the right tool for the right job. It gives you a lot of flexibility in picking. That's all.
Now, of course, just because I have to bring it up, though, all of this stuff wouldn't be as good as, and I'm surprised, Ruth, you haven't got into it yet, but all of this stuff wouldn't be as good as it is without, see how she does that? I get into a little infrastructure plug here, and she goes away. System Center, bring it all together, right?
Yeah, because then you have this whole lot of choices, right? You can do on-premise, off-premise, hybrid, and then it all starts integrating together. And so it's all about, again, the right tool for the job, and here's your tool belt. You know, what do you need out of it?
Now, Ruth, I don't know if you guys know, but Ruth has been out and about throughout Canada doing the Windows Server 2012 launch, and surely you guys are talking about why it's called the Cloud OS.
Yes, right? Yes, yes. All about the virtualization technologies in it and the tools that you can use. And we are going to be doing a whole bunch of full-day camps as well across the country, going to a lot of places actually we haven't been to for a while. We're trying to really do small hands-on events at a number of different places. So,
Guelph? You're going to Guelph then?
Well, no. But you know what? We're looking at going to Waterloo.
There you go.
You know, close enough.
But the reason why I bring it up, other than the fact that it's cool to talk about the fact that you're doing that, is I think with Windows Server 2012 coming out, like that's taking what these guys have been talking about to that next level of literally using the right tool, because before you would have had to kind of mix and match things together, and now things are just seamless even from Server 2012 to Azure.
Yeah, so System Center can now monitor in the cloud, it can monitor on-premise, you can dive down to the app level, because again, it's all about the apps, right? We already talked about that. So. But you can drill right down to the app level, and so we really see a kind of coming together of the infrastructure person, and we're getting closer and closer to the apps, and we need to, and working closer and closer with our
apps.
with our apps, with our dev
apps.
Our dev friends.
Hey,
our IT pro guy actually walked into my office yesterday and went, "So, System Center 2012, what do you know about it?" He's basically, you know, he wants to actually start trying to get that technology, get it up and get it used.
Well, and the nice thing is, so here's the whole idea is that now that he's not having to put disks in machines or swap out hard drives or whatever, he can now work on being more proactive about seeing where you can make efficiencies, you know, looking at new tools like System Center.
He made some comment about integration with System Center and SQL Server 2012 that was not really what he would have liked to have seen, but now he's all up and down about the system center. He's looking forward to being able to get that to start to manage what we're doing here.
Nice.
When you guys brought up your virtual machines into Azure, did you start from scratch in the cloud, or did you do what? And I love the term for this. It used to be, you know, back in the day, it's bring your own booze, right? Now it's bring your own VHD, right? And so, John, I saw you said you started fresh from the cloud.
I just don't have enough pipe going up. So.
Fair enough. And then, Bruce, for you guys, when you were doing your virtual machines, did you bring your VHD?
Because we use them for two different purposes, right? Some of them we're using for internal stuff, but because we're a training center, we will use them to push the virtual images for labs to instances on the cloud, have the students hook up to it, and work it that way. And so now when we're doing that and we're working on the Microsoft official curriculum, we have the VHD here. We just have to push the VHD up into Azure.
Nice.
So we've done it both ways.
Nice.
The nice part about the VHD is that you don't have to attach it to a machine and incur the cost of the machine while it's just sitting there idle. You can attach and you can basically build a machine out of a VHD and then really quickly destroy it, and you haven't lost any of the persistent data or operating system or anything like that.
Now, just for full disclosure, though, when your VHD is sitting in your storage account, you are still accumulating storage costs, but
that's
not
cheap.
Yeah.
You said it, not me. I was kind of hoping we'd get there, but.
Good one. Anyways, I am going to be the time cop as usual.
As usual.
And we are at the end of our show. I knew that this was going to be a very, very fun and easy show to talk. It's easy to talk about because it's.
It's easy to talk about things when things work.
When things work. Well, you know, it's easy to talk about things when they don't work if you're willing to talk about why it didn't work and the barriers and the solutions
true.
And stuff.
And how you fix them.
And
exactly.
How you fix them, yeah. We don't really want to talk about anyone trashing our stuff. I didn't think that was going to happen, so.
You never know with a live show, right?
I know, you don't. And especially with people like Bruce and John.
Thank you.
Anyways, thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show and for being so willing to talk to us and share your knowledge.
There's never a better way to learn how to implement something than by hearing from people who do it, not necessarily hearing from us who, you know, we talk about it, but we've done it for demo purposes, but we're not running our business.
We're not,
Well, at least you and I aren't. Yeah. Microsoft is.
Microsoft is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we got people. Anyways, thanks again, guys. And we'll chat again soon.
Yeah, and for you guys watching, again, as always, questions, make sure to put them on the Align IT Manager Tech Talk. Actually, it's the Align IT LinkedIn group.
LinkedIn group. So yeah. microsoft.ca/AlignITgroup.
And we do check.
Yes.
So get those questions coming. Even if you're watching this on demand afterwards, get those questions. We'll answer them.
Yeah. There's the Azure camps that we talked about. So you can go to aka.ms/AzureDevCampOnline. That's a long one.
It is. It is. That may have been me. But point is, for those ones, is that even though the in-person dev camps are actually coming to an end actually this weekend, we have actually a whole set of online workshops. In fact, specifically one on October 29th, focusing on migrating from existing infrastructure into the various different options in Azure. So love for you guys to join us. It'd be great, October 29th. And that one is aka.ms/migrating to Azure.
And as well, we have the Windows Server 2012 camps going across the country. And I'm actually in the midst of...
With yours truly, of course.
I'm in the midst of trying to nail down all the event spaces and venues and times and places and dates and everything. But I do have a running list, and I have a blog post that I put up that I'm going to continue to update. And it's at ak.ms/WS2012events.
Sorry, and mine was long.
Well, WS2012 events.
Same number of characters,
No, sure.
Anyway, back to them. Enough of our banter. Yeah. Back to these guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good rest of the day.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah.